Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What a crazy world we live in, Jerry.
Is my microphone on?
Yeah.
Is my headphones on? I don't hear myself.
You don't hear yourself. Well, I'm wondering if...
Let me change to the other headphone.
Okay, let's do that. All right. Anyway, while he's figuring this out, we're glad you are with us.
I can hear you now.
Sounds good. You're listening, of course, to the dulcet tones of Dr. Jerry Mix.
I love that term, dulcet tones.
Me too. Yes. Anyway, and it's just the two of us, and we are social distancing.
You and me, babe.
We are socially distant.
We are socially distant.
We are in the studio. And you are on one side, I'm on the
About 8 feet apart.
About. And but it does feel weird without Dr. Umat.
Samara here, that's right.
but that's okay.
Where is she today?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think
she... Samara, if you're listening, quit partying wildly and get your... No, never mind.
Yes.
Okay.
So many things are going on. Obviously, we're going to be talking today about the virus. And what to do, the who, what, where, when, and why of the coronavirus.
How to kill it.
How to kill it. There are some things on the horizon that could be encouraging.
Yeah, but you know what? The single most effective thing that kills this virus, soap and water. The science behind that is very simple. This virus is held together not by strong ionic bonds. It's held together by a lipid bilayer, okay? Just two little tiny, incredibly thin films of fat that hold the proteins together that make up this virus.
Okay.
And the same thing that gets the grease off your dishes dissolves the fat. When you wash your hands or anything with soap and water, you dissolve that lipid bilayer. You dissolve the fat, and the virus falls apart. And it disintegrates.
So hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer works, but you know, people use a little dollop. Hand sanitizer is not nearly as effective as soap. And so you need to use a lot of it. So, yeah, so people are trying to make their hand sanitizer go a long way. So they put a little tiny dollop on and they rub it around. You got to really get your hands pretty well coated with that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Hand sanitizers are a tiny fraction as effective as soap is at destroying this virus.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, you can find soap, but you can't find hand sanitizer.
Yeah. There's no shortage of soap, and it's any soap. Shampoo works, dishwashing detergent works, bar soap works, liquid soaps work. Soap, anything that will take greasy, oily films off your dishes will destroy the virus. And, you know, if you're saying, oh, my goodness, I can't find the special cleaning solutions for my countertops, then put some soap and water on your countertops. Wash them. Washing with soap and water is the single most effective way we know of to make this virus disintegrate and fall apart.
And part of the problem is, however, people are maybe out and about having to do some necessary travel. And the hand sanitizers make a lot of sense because you got them right there. Just don't put a little teeny pea dollop in your hand.
Yeah, use some.
Yeah, use a bunch of it.
You bought it, use it.
That's right. Of course, you can't find it, but I did have some good news. I think I told you this last night.
You did?
Paramount Pharmacy is getting a shipment in of alcohol, which he needed. He has the other base,
right?
Plenty of it. And so by about Tuesday or Wednesday, he'll be able to start shipping
8-ounce bottles.
8-ounce bottles.
Not little tiny things.
No.
8-ounce bottles.
8-ounce bottles. I don't know how many ounces is this here. Well, this is 12. But the bottom line is that he'll have it. And for Paramount existing customers, like most of our longevity patients, he will ship it for free as well with your other meds. So if you would like some hand sanitizer, you can call Paramount Pharmacy.
But if you're not a customer of Paramount, then
there's a shipping fee. It's $5.
Okay.
It's $5. But the bottom line, if the 8-ounce bottles, $8, another $5 for shipping. But if you bought 2 or 3 bottles, I think it's still only $5.
I'm
not sure, but does it matter? I don't know.
No. If I really needed hand sanitizer. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And so you can call Paramount at 885-301-7677. 855-301-7677. I know people have paid some crazy prices for things these days, and so I know $8 for the 8 ounces is a little bit more than what you would normally pay, but
it's Brandon, a very short supply.
Yeah. Brandon at Paramount is not a gouger.
No.
Not definitely. So it's a good idea. 855-301-7677. Let me also give out our toll-free number here, because we've got 4 lines, and you can call in. Does not have to be about the coronavirus, even though we've got a few more things Dr. Mixon wants to share about that. But you can call about any health issue at 800-465-8770. Again, that's 800-465-8770. And pretty much anything goes. Okay. The new hope on the horizon
yes,
is a malaria drug that's been around since the 1930s.
No, 1945.
Oh, sorry.
Hydroxychloroquine.
I definitely heard 1930 from one person, at least, okay. On the news yesterday. So regardless, it's been around for a while.
Yes.
Are you at all encouraged?
Oh yeah,
by
no.
That?
The study was great. I mean, it's tiny. It's 40 some patients, but you know, you had 100% viral clearance, so that's impressive.
That is impressive.
Now, yeah, there's several reservations. First of all, getting the medication. You know, this is not something that the average American pharmacy keeps great big jugs and bottles and amounts. The only reason we have used it in this country in the past is that if you were going to the Amazon rainforest or you were going to Africa where malaria is endemic, they would give you a few pills to to take with you as prophylaxis against malaria. And so, you know, we don't have enough of it sitting on the shelves here in America to treat large numbers of people. Now, if we were in Brazil or we were in Africa, every pharmacy would have oodles and scads of it, because it's a cheap drug. It's been around forever and a day. Like I said, mid-1940s. And so in endemic malaria areas, it is plentiful. There are 45 or 50 companies around the world manufacturing it. But in America, the pharmacies just haven't stocked it because there's been no need. How many people in Kirkland go to Africa or the rainforest, you know, in any given day?
Yeah.
So when, you know, the word came out, I started calling around to our local pharmacies. Our local Fred Meyer here in Kirkland had enough on hand for like 6 couples. That was it. Yeah. They'd be out. Safeway had enough for 4 couples. You know, another of the pharmacies had enough for like 4 or 5 couples. So each pharmacy around the area has enough for 4 or 5, maybe 6 couples, and then they're out. And guess what? From the time the president made the announcement, I can tell you within about 2 or 3 hours, every pharmacy in America was out.
That's right.
It's back ordered. And yes, it will come in, but we don't know when.
Right. And it may not be that long, however. I don't think.
Well, they're going to rush. They're going to rush. But again, we don't manufacture it here.
Oh, we don't even manufacture it.
No.
Here.
Why would we?
Okay.
The need for it in America has been so low that, right. You know, and yeah, you the numbers vary, but anywhere from 80 to 98% of the APIs, that's active pharmaceutical ingredients for the drugs we do make in America, actually come from China. China and India provide almost all of the active pharmaceutical ingredients. What we do is we buy the stuff from China or India, and then we bring it here, and they press it into the pills. And we say, oh, it's manufactured in America. No, we pressed it into the pills in America. But the ingredient that's actually doing the good, we didn't make in this country.
Interesting. Okay. We've all been hearing this, and it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating to hear that we are vulnerable, you might say, to other countries. Interesting. All right. What's the name of that drug?
Hydroxychloroquine. And the drug they used it with in the study, because these were very sick patients, they used it with azithromycin, Zithromax, which is an antibiotic that we do have a lot of in this country. The problem with the combination is that using hydroxychloroquine with the Zithromax increases the risk of serious kidney damage significantly. Now, if I were dying of coronavirus, if I were in the ICU, I'd want the combination.
Of course.
But if I were to start running a high fever today, I'd want to do two things. One, I'd start popping the hydroxychloroquine on my way down to get my test. Because it's going to take 2, 3, sometimes 4 days to get the test results back. All right. And I don't want to be getting sicker and sicker and sicker all the time. But as long as my disease was mild, I'd stick with just the hydroxychloroquine. Because I'd like to keep my kidneys. I don't want to take a special risk. Now, if I'm getting really sick, then I'd add the azithromycin to it.
Gotcha.
So it's a matter. And in that study, these were hospitalized patients. They were in that 6 to 8% of people that get really, really sick and need to go to the hospital. Most people who catch the virus do just fine at home, you know, with just some aspirin, Tylenol, plenty of fluids, rest, and, you know, in a few days they start perking up. But there is that small number. We used to think it was 20%, and in China it was, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. But if you have more air pollution, you get sicker. If you're a smoker, you get sicker. Well, hell, everybody smokes in China, and the air really sucks. It's filthy dirty. And so they had about 20% of their population needed to go to the hospital. As we're looking at Europe, it was down around 9% of the patients needed to go to the hospital because Europeans smoke more than Americans. And in America, it's down around 6% that are sick enough to go to the hospital. So if you're a non-smoker in America, you know, you got maybe a 5 or 6% chance you'll get sick enough to go to the hospital.
In other words, if you get it in that category, 5% of you might wind up in the hospital. Okay.
And it's age-related, too. The older you are, the worse your immune system is.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, with that in mind, you know, I was going to start the show, but we got sidetracked with the comment that longevity medical clinic patients are probably the happiest people in the Pacific Northwest, because if there's one thing you want to do is you want to do what longevity patients are hopefully doing and building their immune system, probably the smartest thing you can do. You hear about it yesterday on the news. I was watching several times, and in each segment they seem to be talking about, well, everybody's immune system is different. You know,
well, it is.
And so at Longevity, that's always been our virtually our number one goal, is to build up your body, your immune system. And quite frankly, that can be
stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier. Oh, and by the way, more resistant to most diseases. Yes,
it's really true. That's really true. So it's a very good time to be a longevity medical clinic patient. We can talk more about that when we come back. We'll do a quick break right now. We've got Jim in Seattle with a question about prostates.
Okay.
And we've got Don in Everett with a question about leukemia. And then we could have your question, too, because we've got two more lines open. If you call us, we'll get you on the air at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. We will be back before you know it. 800-465-8770.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age. Call with your question at 1-800-465-8770.
That's 800-465-8770.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Pete Talbot. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with us, the founder and chief medical officer for a longevity medical clinic. And for 21 years, your goal, you've often said, Jerry, that longevity medical clinic, you want longevity to be the ultimate, and quite frankly, in my opinion, I believe it is, the ultimate preventive.
Preventive medicine clinic, yeah.
That's right.
You know, typical preventive medicine clinics basically just give you immunizations. That's it.
That's right.
And that is the single most effective thing that we do to prevent diseases in America, is you get people a vaccine. But reality, lifestyle, hormone balancing, the things we do have an enormous impact on whether or not you get sick as you age and how well you age. And so our goal, as I have said over and over, is to help every single person be as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as humanly possible, as long in life as possible. So that's a, you know, that has been our goal. But all of those factors are the result of a body that is functioning as well as possible. This means you have the lowest risk of developing cancers and dementia and heart disease and all the big killers. We can lower your risks significantly. We don't treat those diseases once you've got them. Our goal is to keep you from getting them.
That's right. And that is a huge, huge, that's why earlier I said the happiest people, at least medically, psychologically, from a health perspective, the happiest people in the Pacific Northwest in the country right now are longevity patients, because we are on top of that. That's our whole objective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why our doors are still open. You know, we don't do surgery and things like that because those are all shut down.
We did have to shut down our aesthetics department.
Oh, that's right. The Bella Medica.
Bella Medica.
We had to shut that down for, what, a couple of months anyway?
We don't know how long. It's, you know, it's, they're telling us until somewhere in mid-April right now. So,
well, who knows? That's guesswork. You're right.
That'll be up to the governor whenever he says.
Yes, our wonderful governor. So here we go. The bottom line, however, is we're still open for business. I know this last week I was just looking. We took in 14 new patients.
Mm-hmm.
Their first-time appointment, patients with the free health analysis appointments.
Yep.
And, boy, were they excited. They were excited. And if you have ever considered longevity medical clinic, well, if this doesn't motivate you, if the virus doesn't motivate you, if this overall crisis and frenzy and what have you regarding everybody's health, if it doesn't motivate you, well, probably nothing will. And so for those of you who this is it, well, you just simply go to our website and make one of our free health analysis appointments. And you do that on our website. About 95% of the people make their own appointments online by going to lmclinic.com. That's LMClinic.com. When you go to our homepage, you'll see right there a pretty obvious button that says health analysis appointments, scheduling, I think. Click on it. Boom. And the three clinics will come up on your screen. Select the clinic that is best for you, obviously, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland. And when you select the clinic, then the clinic's schedule comes on the screen. All of the appointments that are available are right there for you, easy to see, like Monday at 2:30, Tuesday at 4. You know, all of them are right there. You just click on the appointment that's best for you. And boom, it's yours. And you should know we are taking very careful, a lot of special precautions. For example, at all three of the clinics, when you approach our office front door, you can't come in until we ask you a number of qualifying questions. Yep. We take your temperature. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, we do this for the staff, too.
Oh, yes.
So staff can't even walk in the door.
Staff don't come to work until we've checked their temperature, quizzed them about their health,
Yeah. And
then put their mask on.
That's right.
And they can come in to go to work.
Should we talk about all the
No,
masks?
Not yet, because okay. We don't have them yet.
Don't have them yet.
We, you know, we have plenty of masks for our staff, but we
That's
don't
right.
have lots yet.
We have some.
Well, and we've ordered 6,000 new ones.
That's all I was going to say.
They're just not
here. We've ordered 6,000 masks. Now you ask, why would you order 6,000 masks? Because we're busy, and we
well, we figure we'll probably use half those. But
yes,
a whole different issue. We'll talk about that once we get the masks on hand.
That's true. It's going to be another 5-6 days. But don't worry, we have plenty of masks for right now.
That's
but
right.
That's why we ordered 6,000 more. Bottom line is, you can't even get in the door unless you qualify. But hey, odds are you will, and then you come in, and our staff are, for example, our medical assistants, who, if you're coming in to have a blood draw, will be wearing a mask and everything. So we're good, and we're here to help. And so you can make that free health analysis appointment, and come on in. Go to lmclinic.com and make your own appointment. I got another email from Bia, like I usually get Thursday afternoon or Friday at the latest, and she has put additional appointments on our calendar through the second week of April. So there are some now available at each of the three clinics, I believe. Yes, I think so. Each of the three clinics. And you just pick your appointment. And we're going out as far as the second week of April. So there you go, lmclinic.com. Let's go to Seattle and talk to Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me now?
You
we
bet.
Can.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Mixon, I got a good question. My family member is ended up in an emergency room and stuff, and he's got catheter prostate problems, and he's scheduled mm-hmm. for the urologist saw him, and he's scheduled for the TURP procedure. I think I've heard you talk, and I heard Dr. Killebrew a few years ago talking about he wouldn't do it, he wouldn't recommend it for any of his patients. Is there an alternative, or is it too late now?
Well, he's currently in the clutches of someone doing TURPs.
Yes.
Unless he's in a position to walk out on his doctor and find a different one, it's a little late. And that's often the issue. If you come in obstructed, you get whatever urologist happens to be on call. TURPs work. They've been doing TURPs since the 1950s and 60s. But they've got some downside. How old is this person?
80.
Okay. And do you know if they're still sexually active or not?
I don't know.
Okay. See, the problem with TURPs, you cut out part of the prostate. You go in through the penis, and you use a cutting loop, electrically charged cutting loop, and you basically come back and you cut away the prostatic urethra, the part of the tube that carries the bladder, the urine from the bladder down the penis, so you can urinate and evacuate it. And you have to destroy that whole section of the urethra in order to get to the prostate, which surrounds the urethra. And you cut out enough of the prostate to give you a bigger channel so you're no longer obstructing your urine flow. The problem with that is in the process of doing so, you destroy the external urethral valve almost always. And so there will be urinary incontinence for some period of time. You have to basically regrow a lining in that now raw channel where you've cut out all the tissue. And so he will need a catheter for weeks to months, and then he will probably have urinary incontinence, be unable to control his urine flow, and so he'll need a pad or an adult diaper for 4, 5, 6 months if he's lucky, and maybe a year, and maybe forever. Many older men have difficulty regaining the sphincter control once they lose that external valve. And if he's sexually active, he will no longer ejaculate in the normal fashion. Most of the time, the ejaculate, the semen, will go back up into the bladder rather than coming down the penis. And so he'll lose part of the sensation with intercourse. For those reasons, the urinary incontinence, the need for catheters and or diapers for some period thereafter, and maybe long-term, as in even permanent, lack of bladder control, causes me concern. In younger men that are still sexually active, obviously the damage to their sex life is an issue too. In most men in their 80s and 90s, they're not sexually active, so that part is less of an issue. So there are alternatives. There is two alternatives that help preserve that. One is a procedure that is not done by urologists. So once you have a urologist involved, you're not going to get this procedure. It's done by procedural radiologists. It's called a prostatic arterial embolization, where they run a catheter into the artery in your groin, run it up into the belly, thread it into the opening of the prostate arteries, and inject some foam or tiny, tiny microbeads, and plug off the blood supply to a significant portion of the prostate. And that portion of the prostate dies and shrivels up and goes away. The other one is called a resume procedure, and this one is actually done in the office by urologists. Under sedation and local anesthesia, they'll go in and they've got a kind of a 90 degree needle. They'll go in, they puncture the urethra, and they inject steam, small quantities of very, very hot water, steam, into the prostate, without injecting it into the urethra. They've actually punctured the urethra with a needle. Put that needle out into the center of the prostate, inject a bit of steam, the heat kills that portion of the prostate. They may need 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 injections, but the only damage to the urethra and to the sphincters is the little needle punctures. So it's much less traumatic to the urethra, and you don't lose urine control that way. And all you do is kill pieces of the prostate to debulk it and shrink it down. I think as a urologic procedure, that's far preferable from the patient standpoint to the TURP. But the TURP is what's been taught in medical schools and residencies since the 1960s or 50s. And so that's what every urologist on the planet learned when they were in training. The newer things, of course, have only come out in the last few years. And so unless they just came out of training in the last year or two, they never did these procedures in their training.
I remember, and it wasn't long ago, I met with a friend. I hadn't seen him for like 20 years, and he'd had the TURP done, and he literally broke down and cried because he felt for himself he'd made a horrible mistake. Yeah. But his doctor, he finds out later, that's all his doctor knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And just did it sort of a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, let's do the TURP. Yeah. And boy, the guy is unhappy.
When I was a resident, you know, 45 years ago, they were doing TERPs.
Oh, that long ago?
Yeah, sure.
Back TERPs, in the dark ages.
TERPs are forever. And so that technology has barely moved, but it's outdated technology.
Well, my friend was is about, at the time, this was a couple of years ago, actually, probably 50, 60 maybe.
See, that's a young man.
Yeah.
I mean, giving him incontinence and knocking out much of his sex life is...
He was devastated.
Yeah.
Devastated.
I don't know. Sometimes I have the urge to apologize for much of my profession. That's not what I would want if it were me. But it's not me, and I'm not treating him. So...
Okay. Hey, that's great information, and I just want two things. Would you go with that? The first option is done by a radiologist, or what?
It's done by
the name of it.
Yeah, that's done by a procedural radiologist,
not by
urologists, and it's called a prostatic arterial embolization. And I only know, I know there are several doctors in the area doing it. The only name that comes to mind is a Dr. Guy Johnson over at UW. And again, because most people don't go to radiologists for their prostate problems, I understand Dr. Johnson, he's doing about one a month, you know?
Yeah.
Not a high volume just because there's not a lot of people requesting it.
But that's likely to change as time goes on.
Well,
right?
Not really, because people consistently go to urologists for their prostate. That's what they get referrals to.
Now, is this procedure, the prostatic arterial embolization, is that considered an elective procedure right now?
Well, not if you're obstructing, it's not.
Okay.
But again, that depends.
Okay.
I believe it is covered by insurance now. The trick is nobody gets to the radiologist for prostate problems.
Yeah.
Among urologic procedures for urologists, it's called Rezume. I think it's R-E-Z-U-M. Maybe there's an E on the end of it. Rezume.
Yeah. Okay, that's great info. Hey, Pete, when will this be on so someone can listen to it on your podcast?
I would imagine by
Tuesday or so.
Yeah, probably even Sunday night or maybe Monday.
Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it depends.
Thanks. Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot. You're great. Thank you.
Bye-bye, sir.
Excellent. Okay, that opens up a line. And we have one line as of about 5 seconds ago available. Why don't you grab it at 800-465-8770. When we come back, we'll talk with Don from Everett. He has a question about leukemia.
Well, now, that's outside of my expertise.
Well,
but all right.
You know more than the rest of us. But then we've got a question about collagen. We got a question about COVID-19.
That's one I know about.
Dorothy in Federal Way has been told, and I think I heard this yesterday myself, that people with blood type O are a little more resistant.
Yes. And I am an A, and I am the most sensitive to it.
And I am an O. Oh, thank you, God. This is good news. Anyway, the who, what, where, why, and when of pretty much whatever you want to talk about at 800-465-8770. Don't go far, because this is going to be a busy day.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Join in the conversation at 1-800-465-8770 and tell your friends to listen.
That's 1-800-465-8770.
You know, I've not done this before, but in fact, ever. But Trump just posted something.
Yes.
Just now, right this minute.
I'm not on Twitter.
Neither am I.
I don't tweet and I don't read tweets.
But somebody must have copied and pasted.
My wife just sent me on WeChat a copy of President Trump's Twitter post this morning.
Okay.
And the president said on Twitter, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin taken together have a real chance to be one of the biggest game changers in the history of medicine. God, he loves hyperbole. The FDA has moved mountains. Thank you. Hopefully they will both, if work, let's see, they will both, H, works better with A. Oh, okay. International Journal of Antimicrobial Agents. Be put in use immediately. People are dying. Move fast. And God bless everyone. So.
That's great. Well, he's passionate.
He's passionate. And I wish I owned stock in azithromycin and hydroxychloroquine producers right now. But I don't. So.
You know, I have.
Somebody's going to get really rich.
I have a friend who has. Trump derangement syndrome.
I see.
Even though he appears to be very happy at many of the things that Trump has accomplished that are kind of historic, but he just hates his guts. And and he said Trump is not taking this thing seriously. He's not taking this seriously. He could have done so much more, so much faster, he just went on and on and on. And in other words, Trump wasn't scaring people enough. And I tried to explain to my friend, I said, he's dealing with all the scientists, he's dealing with all the facts, but he's not going to be a Chicken Little and say, everybody run for the hills and with your hair on fire.
Oh, my God, we're all going to die. No.
Yeah.
Well, reality is that a leader's job is to keep his people calm. And you don't keep people calm by throwing out worst case analysis. You keep people calm by giving them the basic facts, and then you give them hope that we can accomplish this. And that's what, you know, that's what leadership is all about. Now, I have to say, I did not have Trump derangement syndrome, but at the same time, Trump was not my first, second, or third choice for president.
No, mine either. Absolutely not.
My first choice. Now, I do admit, I wasn't anybody but Hillary. Fan.
Yeah.
I would have voted for a one-eyed yellow dog with mange before I voted for Hillary.
Right. I voted for Gorsuch.
Well, see, I was going to, my first choice was Carly Fiorina.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was so impressed with her.
She was bright. She was articulate. She had experience running a major company. Yes, she wasn't the world's best CEO, but she was in very difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
She was a woman, so Hillary couldn't use the woman. Yeah. She was a woman who was a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, I didn't know.
So, you know, let's see you use it against a female breast cancer survivor.
That's right.
But most people didn't agree with me, so, you know, then my second choice was the good doctor, our neurosurgeon.
Yeah. Well, you know. Ben Carson is a sweet guy.
Well, he's a sweet guy, and he's a very smart guy. But when he lost me, when he got up, and they asked him about his foreign policies and about one of the military conflicts, and his answer was, well, I really don't know. I'm going to have to go consult with some generals on that. And I sat there and said, no, sir, you're asking for my vote for president. You damn sure had better already consulted with him and have an idea where you want to go.
That's right.
This is not the time to start telling me you're going to look into it.
Well, the bottom line is Trump is not running around with his hair on fire.
No.
Trying to scare us all. But he's doing everything he can, I think.
Well, let me explain why we're in the situation we're in.
All right.
Okay. And it has nothing to do with Mr. Trump. It actually is the fault of George Bush and Barack Obama. Now, there's a combination.
Tell us why.
But there's when the SARS epidemic hit South Korea, they were hit hard. And so South Korea really lost a lot of people. They had an awful lot of people sick. Their system was structured much like our system, and with a centralized central for disease control, and they had to get permission to do things. And after SARS, they said, you know, this did not work well. And so we need to revamp. So they decentralized. They gave labs all over the country permission to come up with their own tests. And they didn't have to go through the central government to get approval. like we still do, or had did until a week or so ago when Trump said no, no more. And so they tried to get ready to gear up for the next virus that was going to come through there, because they were close to China. They knew they were going to get hit again. And indeed, MERS came along, the Middle Eastern virus, and it was more fatal than SARS. And so they put their new system into play. It had a lot of bugs. It still didn't work as well as they wanted. So they used their experience with MERS to revamp it again and to make it more effective. So now when the coronavirus came through, they were prepared. They had had two trials already of revamping their system to make it very, very efficient. So this is a country of 50 million people, one-sixth the size of the United States, and they did 10 times more tests than we did on one-sixth the population. And they've got great responses. Their medical system was set up for it. But that's because they made changes when SARS came in, and they revamped those changes when MERS came in. When SARS came through, George Bush was president, and we didn't get SARS in America. And so we just kind of said, oh, that's an Asian problem, and we didn't change our system. So Bush looked at this and said, well, we didn't really get hit over here in America, so we're pretty well protected, so we left things alone. Then when MERS came along, again, it wasn't a problem in America. It was an Asian problem. And so Obama, Biden didn't do anything. They just kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, our system is fine for us because, well, we don't get hit with these things. Now, for the first time, we've gotten hit. And we're stuck with the old system. And now Trump is having to try to revamp the system using the Koreans as our model to try to kind of get up to speed
right. That
we should have gotten up to back about 2004. But
interesting.
We didn't. Okay. So people that attack Trump for this, no, he didn't do anything because Obama didn't do anything, because Bush didn't do anything. And the Koreans, who were getting hit by those things back, they did stuff. We should have. But it wasn't a problem that hit us.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Now, I was struck in the last debate by Mr. Biden repeatedly, over and over, talking about he could be better than Trump because he had the experience with the Ebola epidemic. And I about fell on the floor, because he went through that about 8 or 10 times. The Ebola epidemic. Do you know how many people in America caught Ebola? 2. We treated 11 cases. There were 9 Americans that caught it in Africa because they were aid workers and doctors helping the people in Africa with the Ebola. So when they caught Ebola in Africa, we brought those 9 people back to America to treat them. That wasn't an American epidemic.
Right.
2 people caught Ebola from those 9. Right. So 2 people out of 300 million, that was the epidemic that Mr. Biden kept referring to as his experience with the Ebola epidemic. And I said, I want to slap you, guy.
Well, we don't want to upset any of our more liberal...
I know, but doggone it, it's just... I hate it when I get lied to. I accept mistakes. Politicians are humans. They make mistakes. They screw up. I accept that. I hate it when they lie to me.
Oh, my golly. Well, then you must hate almost all...
Most politicians most of the time. You're right.
Hey, we'll be right back, and we will start taking more calls. Lots of calls. The lines are full. Hang on. Don't go far.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation. 425-654-0258.
That's 425-654-0258.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine for over 20 years now. Just over 20 years we've been on the air. And this show is all about you and your health. I started off the show earlier today saying the happiest people in the Pacific Northwest, the kill zone for the coronavirus, that longevity patients are about as happy as you can get, because we, for 20 plus years now, have been dealing with exactly what everyone should be dealing with, and that is improving your health, building into your immune system. And because everybody's immune system is different, and you want it as strong as you can get. That's why we call Longevity Medical Clinic the ultimate preventive medical clinic. So, again, we've had a number of calls to the studio saying, how do we make a health analysis appointment? This is the time to do it. We do have some available. Longevity is up and running. We're very, very careful. We don't even let you in our front door until we ask you some questions and take your temperature. The same thing we do for our staff every day at Longevity. And but we are up and running. This last week we were quite busy. We're doing we're keeping busy. Let's put it that way. We've had to add staff, and we encourage you, if you are finally at the point where you realize, holy cow, yes, you need to start working on your health from a prevention perspective, make one of those free health analysis appointments. Go to our website and click on the health analysis button. Make your own appointment. Our website is lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. I hope you'll do that. Now, on Monday, you can also call in case you do not have online access. That's okay, a few of you don't. So you can just call at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. So I encourage you to do that. First come, first serve with the number of appointments that we have left. Let's go to Everett and talk to Don. Don, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a longevity blood test on March 2nd. Mm-hmm. And my white blood count went up to 120 on the, the test. And other doctors now, hematologists, all that junk, they've confirmed I have a chronic myeloid leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of questions about that. I've been told, not by a doctor, I've talked by another patient who has a chronic leukemia, that is really a chromosome problem. It's not bacteria, viruses, or fungus or anything like that. So that makes me wonder, the telomere test I had with you guys a couple years ago,
uh-huh,
had a score of 7 and a 68% relative to the age. Is that the same thing that's causing the...
No, it's not. No, what that was doing was saying that in your general aging process, you are actually doing better than 60% of the people in your age group.
Yeah, because I'm taking that immune factor A stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that was doing that. Also, I have a question for you on... You've talked about in the past where if you take non-sugar drinks daily,
mm-hmm,
it causes strokes, or 56% more strokes and heart attacks. Can you tell me how that happens? If the sugary stuff causes you intestinal problems,
right,
why does the non-sugary stuff do that?
Yeah, cause cardiovascular and strokes and heart attacks.
You don't seem like there's a relationship there.
Well, it's not the sugar. It's a differential response to the sweet taste. sugars are, of course, how things are supposed to taste sweet. And for most of our ancestors, you know, sweet was basically in some fruits and some vegetables, and that was pretty much it. Honey was probably the biggest sweet treat our ancestors had. Cane sugar didn't come around actually until the late 1700s, and it was banned as an illegal substance in England when it first came out.
Why is that?
I think the beehive owners basically got the ground to make it illegal.
They had lobbyists even back in
the 1700s. Yeah, because sugar was so much cheaper than honey.
Yeah.
Still is. but you taste the sweet, and the sweet receptors aren't not just in our mouth and tongue. We actually have sweet receptors scattered throughout our body, which is really kind of odd. Why do you need sweet receptors in your gut and your muscles and your brain? But for some good reason, the good Lord put them there. And so when we taste something sweet, it changes our brain chemistry and it changes our entire metabolism. Our body gears up to handle a high simple carbohydrate load. And we are not designed to have a lot of sweet. You know, again, in the quote natural world, not a lot of things are very sweet. So when we load ourselves with a lot of sweet, we basically upset the process and the bacterial concentration, the bacterial makeup in our gut. It's what we call the biome. The mixture of bacteria and viruses in our bowel changes when we start loading lots and lots of sugar in there. And and the byproducts, the metabolic byproducts of those bacteria alter the way our gut works. And it does indeed impact our disease states. When we are doing the artificial sweeteners, we're triggering the receptors in our body for sweet, but then we don't get the carbohydrate load. And that changes again the way our body is responding, because we are sending chemical signals out to handle the high carbohydrate load to make metabolic changes in our blood vessels and so on for the amount of sugars and insulin that it's expecting to get there, and it never gets there. And once more, we've got just kind of an odd metabolic situation. We aren't designed to have a lot of sweet, either with sugars or with artificial sweeteners. It's a totally unnatural situation that we are loading ourselves with, and yet we love the taste of sweet. And so, you know, we are hitting our societies with a lot of it. Basically, I have learned since I've been married to Van Deaton for 15 years to ramp way down my sweet. I don't know if you've ever gone to get a cake or a pastry from an Asian bakery, but you'll find they're very, very different from the Western bakeries. There's almost no sweet taste to it. And instead of a grease and sugar frosting, there'll be real whipped cream with fruit put on the top. And it's fresh fruit. So you get little pieces of fruit and whipped cream and no grease, no sugar. It's a very different approach, but I think it's a much healthier approach. That's about all I can tell you. And as for the treatment of your chronic myelogenous leukemia, well, the good news is you don't have an acute myelogenous leukemia. Those are the ones that people get really sick and die, that we need very aggressive therapy to handle those. The chronic leukemias, by definition, are chronic. They come on slowly. They come on gently. Most people don't even know they've got them for years and years and years. And most of the time when we do diagnose them, it's like when you came and got your blood test with us and we said, whoa, wait a minute, there's a problem here. Go see the hematologist, because you weren't sick. The odds are you will go for years and years and years before they even need to treat it.
And Don, thank you for your call. With that, I got to go because we have the top of the hour break. It is a hard break. Nothing we can do about it. Yep. So thanks again, Don. When we come back, we're going to talk to Marilyn from Kitsap County. She's got a question about your immune system. And believe me, we've had a lot of requests this morning to talk more about your immune system. So have a sneaking hunch. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. In fact, I guarantee it. Do not go far. And if you'd like one of those free health analysis appointments, go to our website right now at lmclinic.com. Pick up one of those free health analysis appointments. Longevity is alive and well.